I wholeheartedly believe in you know, helping the rumen is such an important thing to the cattle because it's the work center for how that, you know, cow acts. And so, I mean, it's got to be performing to the best that it can in order for that cow to be able to do what she was put here to do. And so, you know, people talk a lot about good bugs and bad bugs. And so it's a balance of both of those in the rumen. If the rumen has too many bad bugs in it, then it's not going to perform like it should. And in turn, that cow's, it's going to cost you more to get that cow to perform where she should versus if, you know, you have her rumen balanced with the good bugs that are supposed to be in there.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Boost digestive health, performance, and profitability with Digesterone Prime, a feed additive that enhances digestion and immune function in beef calves. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/prime. Dietforge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Be proactive with Cattle Active. Visit proearthanimalhealth.com today. Control the cortisol surge and control your drug costs on your inbound cattle. Make the 21-day SHOT Show a thing of the past with QFA 2000. Trusted ingredients, proven performance. Rangin Livestock Nutrition. We partner with a purpose. Boehringer Ingelheim puts cattle first with innovative health solutions, vaccines, and care for your herd. Visit bianimalhealth.com/cattle.
High-producing cows need safe, healthy environments. Healthy environments starts with Jones Hamilton.
Welcome to the Beef Podcast, brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm your host, Brandy Buzzard, and it's my pleasure to bring you the latest trends and issues from the best and brightest minds in the beef industry. Today, we're joined by Cash Taylor, who is the ranch manager at Chris Dracos Enterprises, where they run 1,800 mother cows in a Black Angus seed stock cow-calf operation, as well as have a feed yard with a 17,000 one-time head capacity. A fun fact is that Cash's dad is the feedlot manager there. So it was a fun little all in the family type thing. Cash has been at the operation for 14 years there in Burley, Idaho. But before that, he spent a couple years at Utah State University in animal science and has also served in an LDS mission in Brazil. So quite the varied background there. We're excited to have Cash on today. Gut health is on the agenda for today's episode, sponsored by Pro Earth Animal Health. So with that, let's dive right in. Welcome to the podcast, Cash. How are you?
Good, Brandy. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we are excited to have you on here today.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, to start off with, I touched on a very, you know, just like the tip of the iceberg with your background. But if you would just start us off with, bring us up to speed on your background, like how you got started in the beef industry and, you know, farming and ranching and your career thus far, that would be wonderful.
So, I mean, as you know, growing up in southern Idaho, my dad had several different jobs throughout his life, and they were always in some type of feedlot or ranching background. And so, you know, as little kids, we grew up in the same thing. We're out on a horse, you know, since I was little, and riding through cows and riding pens and, you know, branding calves and even a little farming. So, you know, it's kind of been our family's background. The cattle industry, and it's been an important part of our lives growing up. And, you know, outside of high school, I didn't necessarily know if I wanted to pursue anything in the cattle industry just because, you know, you got your butt worked off when you were a kid, a teenager and stuff in the cattle deal. And it's like, man, I might want to break for a little bit. But it's through college and stuff, I thought about doing some other things, but everything kind of kept coming back to, you know, the roots that I was raised in and the cattle industry. And, you know, I just wanted to continue that because that blessed our lives so much growing up and made us a good living. I mean, people don't realize the importance of agriculture and the cattle industry of what it does for people's lives. Not only the people that are, you know, make a living from it, but the people that consume everything from agricultural and the cattle industry and the beef that's in the stores. I mean, people just don't realize what it takes to, you know, go to the store and get a piece of meat.
Is stress affecting your bottom line? Even routine handling, inclement weather, weaning, and dietary changes can significantly lower the rumen pH, causing cortisol levels to spike. Cortisol not only compromises the immune system, but also suppresses normal appetite and feed consumption. The solution? Cattle Active. Increase production and reduce the impacts of stress on your cattle for cents a day. Cattle Active restores the balance naturally. Want to learn more how a feeding program, including Cattle Active, can improve both profits and herd health? Visit us today at proearthanimalhealth.com. Be proactive with Cattle Active.
I read, so I don't remember where I heard it. I'm sure there's a fact with it about economic like fluctuations or like an influx of like economic factors. But like basically the saying was, where beef is raised, rural communities thrive, right? Because you've got like ranchers where they've got the cattle, or they might also be farming. And then like that money is staying in their community because their kids go to school there and they're purchasing groceries there and they're buying tires and fuel and machinery and things like that. And so I just thought it was a really nice tapestry of how important ag businesses and the beef industry are to rural communities. I thought it was a wonder. I cannot take credit for the quote. I don't remember where I heard it, but right. If I ever see it again, I will credit it. But I thought that was a really nice testament to agriculture of where beef is raised, rural communities thrive. So
100%. I believe in that wholeheartedly. And I've seen that. I've heard that quote before as well, Brandy. And it's so true what it does for, you know, the community. And it's branding season right now. And so, you know, we brand all of our calves and stuff like that. And it's usually a community type deal where, you know, there's about 8 different ranches around us in the valley right here. And we go to each other's branding and help them out. And they come there and help us. And, you know, we'll have a lunch afterwards. And so it's a huge community thing. With the ranching community.
I have a little bit of like, it's kind of equal parts intimidation and equal parts fascination with branding because I live in Kansas and we are not a brand, like it's not a brand mandated state. So there is some branding in Kansas, but you don't have to do it. And so I see people with go to branding. One of my very best friends lives in Ashby, Nebraska, and they talk about brand going just exactly what you said, going to everybody's house and branding, and like you take a crew and it's all day thing, and it's kind of like rite of passage and you know family reunion and like all of these things rolled into one. And I think it sounds wonderful, and I see pictures about it, and, you know, everybody and the meals and stuff. And then on the other hand, I find it so intimidating because I mean, I have ridden horses my entire life. I can rope, I can heal, I can doctor cattle, but I find doing that, going to a branding, I would be so intimidated and feel so out of place because it's just not something I've ever done. But it's a very special, seems like a very special component, you know, that harkens back to the origination of the beef industry in the United States. So I know that's not what we're here to talk about, but it is, I think it's just a really nice thread in the beef industry of that community type thing and getting behind it. And I also learned there's a lot of like rules for branding.
There's a lot of branding etiquette.
Branding etiquette, that's the word. Yes. Like I recently saw a post online, someone was talking about like what their thoughts on branding etiquette was, and it was like, don't bring your green broke horses. Yeah. So I totally understand that. Like you break them before you bring them. We do that in the rodeo world. But also like, is there a thing that it's at your own branding? You shouldn't drag calves at your own, like you don't rope at your own branding. Cause I thought roping was like the prestigious thing and you should get to do that at your own branding, but I must be wrong.
It is. I mean, there's a lot of guys that kind of break that rule, but it is a thing of etiquette to allow, you know, you invite the others to your branding. And so they're there to, you know, they have the chance to rope. So usually at a lot of mine, we've got so much other stuff going on at our branding with trying to keep, you know, whether we're taking tissue samples or mm-hmm. putting EIDs in or something like that. So I'm usually the one that gets stuck doing that, just make sure it gets done right. And so usually I don't get to rope in my own branding, which is fine. Cause yeah, that is one of the etiquette points is to not, you know, you're not supposed to rope at your own branding, but.
So if you don't rope it your own branding, you do expect to rope it when you go to like to your neighbors or something like that.
Yes. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
But you there's another etiquette point is you shouldn't show up thinking you're going to rope either. So you should just show up and get ready to work ground, and then they ask you to rope. So
show up with a rope, with your rope and your horse, but leave them tied to the trailer. But until
leave them
you
tied
know.
To the trailer until they say, "Hey, you can get on."
I love it. I feel like if I ever get invited to one, I have at least some like little background of knowledge. Now I may have to do more branding etiquette, like research, because I don't want to embarrass myself if I ever go to one. So
no, you want you don't want to be talked about.
Yeah, definitely. I have that problem enough already. I don't need to add to it. So, well, to transition here, you mentioned like the Dracos Enterprises has a feed yard and you manage this big cow herd. What we're here to talk about today is like some of the things that help make your job easier and help you raise quality beef and quality cattle. And so are there any type of, you know, what kind of tools or products are you using that have kind of helped make your job easier and have helped raise a premium product for customers?
Yeah. You know, that's one huge important part of this industry is having the right tools to be able to accomplish what you're trying to do. And it's an awesome thing over the last 20 years, you know, with technology and stuff, of how much it's made it things more available and made things easier to do. It's crazy to think of where we've come within the industry the last 20 years, just of the technology and stuff. You know, there's so much expenses now. Things cost so dang much that you have to try to do it right. It's just not a trial, you know, a trial and error thing can add up pretty fast and be expensive if you don't do it right, especially with these cattle costing so much as they are right now. You know, you have to try to use and implement every little thing you can to, you know, get a good product in the end and, you know, financially make it worth doing. And so I wholeheartedly believe in, you know, being able to give a cow what she needs to be able to, because she was put on this earth, I mean, to do what she's supposed to do. And if her system is functioning like it should, and we're giving her the necessary things, then, I mean, she should be able to take care of herself. And, you know, several of those things are, you know, a good vaccination program. I think a good vaccination program goes a long way, in, you know, helping, manage your operation and keep things healthy and keep things performing like they should. You know, we supplement, you know, with quite a bit of stuff and, you know, we've started to use some of the Cattle Active products, to help us do that and accomplish that. And so, you know, we're in the high desert up here, so it gets dry, and especially on a year like this year, it's been one of the worst snow years we've ever had that I can remember of in my lifetime. And so you know, we're gonna have to help those cows out a little bit this year and help supplement them. But I think a good vaccination program, good supplement program, minerals, and then just good management, you know, keeping things straight. We run about 800 registered cows, Black Angus cows, and we sell anywhere from 100 to 140 bulls to, you know, across the West and to a lot of guys around us. And then we run about 1,000 commercial cows. And so we use kind of that basis to add, you know, the genetics that we know that are working for us, because we're able to see that when straight in the feed yard. You know, the feed yard it's right next to us. And so all of our own cattle will end up going into the feed yard. And then, like I say, we buy, you know, utilizing auction yards and the Superior Sell Video and that to, you know, supply the cattle for the rest of the feed yard. But it's been cool to be involved with that and have that tool that we have up there with the feed yard to help us see, you know, kind of where we need to go with our own cow herd and, you know, what the practices or the things that we're doing to use in our cow herd and the practices we're doing, you know, whether they're working out in the end. Because, yeah, that's the end goal, is to make money on those cattle. And between a good management program and supplement program, vaccination program, and the genetics plays an important part of having a good end product. And so being able to see the carcass data and the data that we have up there in the feed yard, you know, that's a huge tool in helping us make decisions in our cow-calf operation and where that's going. And we've really tried to utilize the last 10 years of, you know, we know that our genetics are working good up there in the feed yard and making good cattle that perform on, you know, on the rail. And so, you know, we've tried to sell those same bulls, same genetics to ranchers and stuff around us, and then kind of implemented a cow, a calf buyback program. To where we can, you know, hey, you know, let's sit down and work with you guys. What are you guys needing to improve in your herd? You know, based on some data that we can see through the feed yard. And so I'll sit down with those guys and say, okay, you know, we might need to work on some carcass weight or some feed efficiency type stuff, some yearling weights, anything that can kind of help both sides of the table in, you know, just creating a better product. And so that's one thing I really liked about this whole journey, is the genetic, you know, over the last 20 years or whatever, it's insane what genetics has done to the beef industry. Because, you know, you hear all the time still about, you know, the lowest number of cattle in the U.S. And mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's true. Numbers keep going down, and they're going to go down even more, I think, this year and in the next several years, because the Midwest is burning up. The whole West is in a drought. The border's closed and opened and closed, and the southern border, and from all that. And so, you know, the cow numbers are still going to keep coming down. Generations, you know, ranchers are getting older. So they're starting to retire or try, you know, if they can, try to pass it on to a younger generation. But it seems like these younger generations nowadays, either it's tough. They either don't want to do it or don't want to work as hard or don't want to be a part of it. And so, but we're raising, to get back to my point, we're raising more beef with less cattle. And that's, that just goes back to genetics and you know, what we can do management wise. We're just so much better at it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've come a long way. I won't try to guess the figure, because I knew it off the top of my head one time, but it's something like 20% of the world. I think it's 20% of the world's beef with like 7% of the world's cattle or something. But that was probably 10 or 15 years ago. I originally read, that was when I first started my career. So I'm sure it's very different now, because our numbers have gone down. So it's probably fewer amount of the world's cattle, but more of the world's beef. But yeah, you make a lot of great points. You know, it is more expensive and we have to get more out. And so you have to evaluate everything that you're putting into your operation to see if it's worth it. You mentioned a supplement, I think, towards the beginning of your answer, the Cattle Active. What is that product? And, you know, what does it do, and what made you want to try it for the operation?
So I wholeheartedly believe in, you know, helping. The rumen is such an important thing to the cattle, because it's the work center for how that, you know, cow acts. And so, I mean, it's got to be performing to the best that it can in order for that cow to be able to do what she was put here to do. And so, you know, people talk a lot about good bugs and bad bugs. And so it's a balance of both of those in the rumen. If the rumen has too many bad bugs in it, then it's not going to perform like it should. And in turn, that cow's, it's going to cost you more to get that cow to perform where she should, versus if, you know, you have her rumen balanced with the good bugs that are supposed to be in there. And Cattle Active is kind of that. You know, it's a supplement that those guys have put together, and you know, studied and lots of data that's been put in that to get the right bugs in that rumen to allow it to perform like it should. And you can, you know, here we've always fed some sort of thing like that. I've always believed in feeding some sort of supplement and stuff, but you know, I had a friend here 3 years ago that, you know, approached me about using it. And that time we had some liquid supplement we were using, and I just didn't, with the liquid supplement, I just, you know, it seemed like the cows would go through it like crazy for a little while, and they would just consume a ton. And, you know, then we'd get the feed, you know, get the supplement bill, and it's like, oh man, that's got two more zeros on it than we thought it would.
Yeah.
So when you look at that and you know, we talk about expenses and stuff like that, we kind of said, you know, sat down and said, hey, we need to try to find something else here. And I saw a little bit about Cattle Active before and some testimonials from some people. And then I had a buddy that I grew up with, that we've been friends for a long time, that, became a dealer, and I didn't know he was. And so we were talking, we were talking a little bit about this, and we tried it out. And so this is our third year, being on the Cattle Active, supplements. And, the first year I kind of did a trial. I really like doing kind of trial tests on stuff. And we've had good luck with doing that, and are able to see, you know, data not only on paper, but visually as well. And so I had two bunches of first calf heifers. And there was the same amount in each bunch. I had about 140 head in each bunch. And I had one that I started on the Cattle Active lick tubs, about a month before they calved. So that was December. And I just kept our other bunch just with our same program that we'd been using. And they were the same genetics, same ages, ran in the same environment. And it was pretty astounding, the difference between those two groups. In fact, it was kind of like, is this kind of a fluke deal? You know, it was pretty crazy. It was that significant, you know, just between the way that the heifers calved in the two groups. We had less problems as far as mothering, as far as pulling calves. They were all bred the same way. We had less problems with the ones that were on Cattle Active that way. The sickness was a big part too. That year, if I remember, was a pretty wet year. And you know, so we had a lot of problems with sickness, scours, stuff like that. But in the group that was on Cattle Active, we only doctored 20% of the calves in that group versus, there was 100% of the calves got doctored in the other group that wasn't on it. And a lot of those calves got doctored 2 to 3 times.
Oh.
Yeah. So there was a lot of redoctors in there and you know, a significant more death loss in that group that was just on the stuff we'd been using versus the one on the Cattle Active. And then you go, you know, talk about breed back stuff. The, you know, first calf heifers are the hardest group of cows to get bred back just because they themselves are still growing. They're trying to take care of themselves. They got a calf they're taking care of now, and that's the hardest group to get bred back. And so that group that we had on the Cattle Active, lick tubs, they bred up, I think it was 96%, was what they bred up versus, I think the other one was like 82 or 84% on the other set of heifers. And so, both visually, they just looked better too. I mean, the cows haired off faster. They just looked a heck of a lot better. The calves weaned bigger on there. And like I say, they were pretty much the same set of cows. So that's kind of like, was like, man, is that just a fluke thing that happened? Or is that really the product speaking for itself?
And yeah.
So the next year, I decided to do it all on the registered cows. And like I say, our registered and commercials pretty much run the same. They're in the same environment. They run on the same management program, vaccination program. And once again, it was, you know, quite significant, the difference between that. And so this winter we moved everything onto the Cattle Active lick tubs, and Have had good luck with that. And then the cattle active drench, they have it, which is the same. It's just a liquid form that is given orally to cows. And it's a big stress thing. You know, they have a lick tub with stress stuff. You know, weaning time can be a really rough time for a lot of cattle, you know, calves, as you wean them off. And then since I've started using the oral drench, the cattle active oral drench, and then the stress tubs, you know, those calves are used to having a tub out there when they're with mom in the fields and stuff. And when we have that stress tub in the corral there, I mean, it's pretty crazy to see those calves. You know, used to have calves that would just, they would bawl for 2 weeks and wouldn't eat. And, you could tell they were just stressed. But ever since we started using the cattle active drench at weaning time and putting the stress tubs in there, those calves bounce back super fast. I mean, within, a day or two, they're back up to the bunk eating. The bawl on them is, I mean, significantly less. I mean, we're talking, they might bawl for 4 or 5 days now versus 2 weeks.
Well, I had to laugh when you said, like, is this a fluke or not? Because I've had that experience with products too. Like, it works so well, you like almost don't believe that it's actually a thing. But so you did that first group was just one, you know, small subset, and then you did it with all your purebreds. So how have you integrated it into the operation now? Like, is everybody getting it? Is everybody get the lick tub and you do the drench? Like, how is it, you know, woven its way into the operation now at this point, 3 years later?
Yeah. So this year was the first year that we gave it, you know, started on everything. So the registered herd and the commercial herd have all got the lick tub with the cows. And then come wean time, all the calves get the oral drench and the stress tubs. And, you know, this last winter was a pretty easy winter for us as far as feeding wise. There wasn't, like I say, we just didn't have any bad weather, no snow. It was a great time to feed cattle in the feed yard. Just because pens weren't mucky and they weren't a foot deep of stuff. And so, you know, this year was a pretty good year as far as that goes, but
you had a winter like my winter. I live in Southeast Kansas. We don't get a lot of snow. We get ice and rain.
So yeah, we've used it on everything this spring so far. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see. It's worked really great the last 2 years, and the cattle, you know, we've had to feed a few, some other brands of some protein tubs and stuff like that. I've just through the summer a little bit when I haven't either ran out of some tubs or stuff like that, the cattle just, they last longer on the cattle active tub. They don't go through them as fast. It seems like they get a little bit more, usage out of them. And, you know, that shows, I think, in the pastures. I mean, if they're content and everything and their rumen's working like it's supposed to, then, you know, she's not going to have to consume as much dry matter to keep up with her, you know, requirements.
Yeah. Do they, so this is just fresh in my mind because we just put I was out in the pasture a few days ago putting mineral out. And if you have cattle and you put mineral out, you know, they just swarm, you know, like they're trying. I told my 4-year-old daughter, I was like, stay in the side by side so you don't get squished. Is it the same way with these? Are they like rushing to them, you think? Just based on your experience?
I don't think so. If you can keep them, you know, keep it in there like you're supposed to, then no, they just kind of, you know, it's just there and they come and have their routine. But I mean, I've seen it to where, you know, there's been a couple of weeks or something that went by and we didn't know that one had run out or something like that. And, you know, you can get at that point a few that kind of swarm in there on you. But no, I don't. It's not like other stuff that we've used before.
Yeah. And so the benefits that I heard from it, because I mean, you've piqued my interest, not having my shirt cut, not having, you know, decreased bawling, less stressed out calves. You got some more zeros, but got some of your zeros back on that test group from the ones that you lost. You said you had some death loss there, unfortunately. So it sounds like it's a whole herd improvement. You know, it gives you improvements through the whole herd with the weaning, the cows, you know, it's through the whole herd. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we've seen it through a lot of things, especially in those first calf heifers. You know, just them maintaining body weight and flesh in order to get them bred back. I was super impressed by that. And then the overall health of the calves and stuff while they're on that has been a huge improvement. We don't have to doctor near as many.
Well, that's when you guys calve, I imagine it is generally cold in Burley, Idaho in January when you're calving. And I can imagine not having to spend extra time outside treating in the cold is important. I think heifers might be my least favorite group because I'm not a teacher, but I imagine that gathering and working heifers is similar, I'm assuming, to what like a first grade teacher is like. Like you've got these kids that don't know what they're doing and they don't want to listen and they don't know their routine yet. Whereas like mama cows, those are like middle schoolers, high schoolers. They know the drill. I so much rather work and move mama cat, like full grown mama cows that know the drill. Like there's the gate, go to it, that kind of thing. So, but glad to hear it's something that has worked, you know, significantly with the heifers. As a reminder to our audience that if you're enjoying this episode of the Beef Podcast presented by Wisenetics and sponsored by ProEarth Animal Health, please remember to like, subscribe, and share our episode with your friends and family. Are there any other things, Cash, about Cattle Active that you want to share, like with your experience? Just because, like, I've never used it, so I'm interested in, you know, your experiences with it. Is there anything that you feel that I or our listening audience, you know, if we needed extra little proof point to go get some, what would you provide as that proof point?
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of reiterate some of the things that it's done for us. Like I say, that first year, I was just like you said, it was like, is this some snake oil stuff here that and I was a little leery. I was like, man, that's why I wanted to do another thing again. Is it's like,
man, it worked too good.
It worked too good. Yeah. But like I say, when you're talk about, you know, creating an environment in the rumen, to be able to do what it's supposed to do, because God designed it to do work like it's supposed to work. And there's a lot of things that screw up that process here with, you know, whether it's from bad management or, no vaccination program, no mineral program, anything like that. That can throw off levels really fast and, you know, poor feed, things like that. And so, I think if we're able to give that room in the right environment that it's supposed to have. And I think Cattle Active does that. I think those guys have done a good job in knowing and studying the rumen and gut health, in order to have that, you know, have that machine. It's like kind of like the furnace of the cow, to have that machine working like it's supposed to in order for her to, you know, accomplish the things that she needs to do in raising a calf and breeding back and maintaining flesh. Like I say, you need to be as efficient as you can be nowadays with less cattle, less ground, less, you know, some like right now, less grass. We have less grass right now because it's just not, the water's not there. It's not growing. And then we freeze today. So it's like, it was 28 degrees today. And it's just like, man, you can't catch a break.
Cash, I won't tell you what the weather is like right now. But I would take a little bit of your cold, just to be honest. Yeah. I don't like summer. So if you want to send some cold down here, I'll send some moisture your way.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a good trade.
Yeah. I like that the furnace of the cow, though. I think that's a really good summation of it to keep everything running and moving.
Yeah, I wholly believe that thing is constantly going. And I mean, it is like a furnace. So in the wintertime, I mean, that if that gut is working like it should and she's got the good bugs in there, and I mean, that's how she stays warm. That's how she provides heat. You know, people think, you know, they go drive by and see the snow on these cows' backs and stuff like that in the wintertime, and they just feel bad for them. Like, oh, they must be freezing to death. And I say, you know, I guarantee that cow's way warmer than you. because she's got that snow on her back. That's telling us that, hey, she's not, you know, she's not putting off that, all that body heat, trying to stay warm. She's got it all inside of her. And so, the gut health is so important when it comes to that. And then, like I say, having that calf where it's supposed to be, when it, you know, come wean time, when it leaves mama and doesn't have that, mom to fall back on. I mean, if that calf's gut is not working like it should at that point, it sets it back 30 days easily from the other contemporary group. And I'd seen something the other day, just about cost and efficient wise feed costs in the feed yard and stuff like that. If a calf gains anywhere from a tenth of a pound to like 4/10 of a pound less per day than other calves, I mean, that equates to $50 less a head or more per head that it costs to finish that calf. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge thing when you have a 17,000 head in the feedlot.
Yeah, absolutely. It's $50 doesn't sound, I think that's something that people who, I shouldn't say this, I shouldn't make such a broad reaching statement, but I can imagine that $50 to the average grocery shopper in a normal grocery shopping economy doesn't seem like that much. But when you apply it across, like you said, 17,000 head, that's a big deal. That's a lot of zeros.
So it makes a big difference. And $50 nowadays, I mean, when I was a kid, heck, you took $50 to the grocery store, you could buy a lot of stuff for $50.
Yeah. I remember, this is going to age me a bit, I remember my first car getting gas for under $1 a gallon.
Yeah, I do too.
It's time for our famous three.
Well, I wish I could sit here and talk cows with you for another hour, Cash, but unfortunately, we do have to move on to our closing questions. And I ask these to our audience who's been listening a long time. I ask these questions of every guest. So it's kind of like our fun human interest piece. And so the first one of these is, Cash, what is your favorite beef or cattle related resource? It could be a pamphlet, a website, a book, you know, a person, you know, what's your favorite resource, your turn to?
I think it used to be, you know, I'm not a huge reader. I have never been a huge reader. I know that's probably bad to say, but
we're all different people.
Right. I used to like read a lot of, like the Western Horseman. I grew up reading the Western Horseman. I loved it. I loved reading all the stuff about it. And so, you know, I liked a lot of articles that I would read in there. Also, you know, being a part of the Angus Association and stuff like that. You know, the Angus Journal that's put out monthly has a lot of good insights in the industry and different practices. I love to see how different. Probably my biggest thing is going and seeing other people's operations, and kind of picking up ideas, with how they do things and some of the practices that they're implementing and pick up stuff like that. But you know, I read a lot of pamphlets and stuff like that. Probably more so than I'd say a book, but nowadays, I mean, there's stuff like this. I mean, there's lots of podcasts out there, YouTube stuff that people are making that I've started to watch more of, that you can pick up ideas from how people do stuff. And so it's interesting to see those things.
Information is everywhere, for sure.
Oh yeah, it's for sure everywhere. And I feel like, you know, I feel like anyone anywhere can learn something every single day. They just have to desire to learn more and look for it, because
absolutely.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things is learning more about how I can be better, how we can better our operation, and how to keep people eating beef.
Absolutely. I don't know that we're going to have much trouble with that one. But you said Western Horseman, and I'm looking around because I was just reading the most recent one.
Yeah.
Tonight. So, yeah. But Western Horseman, big fan of that as well. What is your favorite non-beef or cattle-related book or one that you are currently reading?
Oh, man. I don't know. So you talked about the young kids thing. I have a 5-year-old daughter, and she is all about reading books. She loves to read. My wife is a big reader. And we read, they're big Harry Potter fans. So I've listened to the Harry Potter books a lot. And I like that stuff. But I like a lot of I love to play golf and hunt, do those other types of things, outdoor stuff, camp, stuff like that. And so, golf has a lot of mental stuff. There's a lot of mental side to it. And so I think I've started reading more so listening to some kind of, how to kind of help focus your mind on stuff and stuff like that. So that's what I'm kind of reading now is more kind of a self-help type books.
Oh, cool. Very cool. I don't often have cowboys on the podcast that say they like to golf. Although I know that we do, like my brother lives in Alva, Oklahoma, and he runs cattle and feeders and all that. And he loves the golf. But you're the first person who's been on the podcast who's been like,
they have quite a few things. I don't know if they have as many anymore, but there's quite a few things. They call them roping strokes. And so it is basically a team roping. So you team rope one night and golf the other. And it's a combination of the two.
Oh my gosh. Don't tell the cowboys around my house that. My goodness, the arena next to my house will be packed. That's funny. Rope and strokes. I like that. And then the last thing is, when you think of someone you admire or look up to, what is a characteristic they possess that has led them to be successful?
Yeah, so there's been lots of people that have influenced me through my life. My dad is probably one of the biggest ones. I've spent a lot of time with him growing up, all the things that he's taught me about the cattle industry. It would be hard pressed for me to find, another guy out there that's as knowledgeable as he is about feeding cattle and the cattle industry. And, I owe a lot of where I'm at today because of him and the things that he's taught me, the importance of that, that he talked to me about keeping this industry alive and going. I think as we see throughout the world and stuff like that, there's lots of different things that are trying to maybe slow that industry down or cause it to the ranching lifestyle to die in certain parts of the country. And so we need some of these younger generations to, step up and have that same desire to carry on those roots. And I mean, I love eating beef and steaks and all sorts of stuff. And so I want to keep that going as much as we can. And so I would say, yeah, probably my dad. There's another guy. I grew up watching John Wayne movies, and John Wayne was one. I wanted to be John Wayne, and I've read some books from that John Wayne wrote and stuff. And so, I loved, the grit that he had and stuff that he played in his movies. I mean, it takes a lot of grit still to be a rancher.
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah, for sure. Well, that is all the questions and time that we have for today, Cash. I want to thank you so much for joining us and sharing your experiences and your background and your knowledge with us. If listeners have questions for you or want to learn more about our discussion today, where can they do that?
Yeah, so you can send questions or anything. You can email us at willowcreekbulls.com.
And just again, thank you, Cash, for being here. Thank you to ProEarth Animal Health for sponsoring this episode. And thank you to our audience for tuning in. We will meet you back here next week on the Beef Podcast presented by Wisenetics.
Yep, thanks, Brandy.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.